You can leave if you want to. We're just jamming, that's all. Okay? You can leave or you can clap. Thanks.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, oh boy. Hello, hello, welcome, one and all. It is October 19th, 2021. And that means that it is Tuesday, not to be confused with its evil stepbrother Monday. Hello, thank you for joining, tuning in. We have a bunch of news today. Lots of death and destruction and other things. They're just real hallmarks of a News to Me episode. I did want to go ahead... it's Stepbrother Monday. I did want to just say thank you to everybody in comm and mention that at the end of the month, on the 28th, which is a Thursday, because Fridays are always iffy, so I'm not sure I can dedicate to it. So on the 28th, which is a Thursday, we're going to try and do a call-in show. So what I'm hoping, what I would like to be able to do is get some people to call and leave me a voicemail letting me know that they want to participate. My extension's 1908, and just let me know what your username is and your extension if you have one, and then we can coordinate to make sure that we get that all lined up. I'm thinking we'll do 4 or 5 minutes for each person, do about 4 people, and then or we could do a call-in like a live call-in show where we don't have pre-rolled or a predefined guest, but since this is the first time out, I'm not 100% sure if that's a great idea or not. But anyway, that's the current plan. If you'd let me know by the 23rd if you want to participate, because I'm going to try and make little transitional sounds between each story, and that means, yeah, you guessed it, there'll only be 4 or 5 news things. So, anyway. Oh, what do you see, Dirty Rig? Go for news sites. Jack Daniels' news story about News to Me. Oh, that's cool. I'll have to check that out. If you've got a link, I should update my Gopher flog. I used to be super excited about Gopher, and I've kind of stopped writing stuff down. I should pick that back up. Anyway, that is a lot of talking. Too much meta stuff, I know. I'm sorry. But anyway, my extension is 1908. Just let me know if you want to participate. Hey, it rhymes. Oh, yeah. Let's see. Tmux. Q. All right. And then exit. Boom. Now my comm is proper size. Big shout out to everyone in comm. Tobe and Ratsu. Dirty Rig. Butt Stuff. DJ Butt Stuff. Thank you all. It's a lot of fun. I'm glad you're here. If you want to join in, all you have to do is SSH over as your username at sdf.org, and then type com, C-O-M, and press G for go to, and then Anon Radio, all lowercase, and that will take you to Anon Radio, where you can talk with people. If you're not really sure what's going on, press H for help. There you go. You can see that stuff. If you got more in-depth questions, you can always go to Bboard. There's a help desk, you know, because sometimes people think, oh, this is like IRC, and it's like, no. SDCOM is not like IRC. All right, well, let's go ahead and get going. We got a lot of news, like I said, and we'll start the way we almost always start, and that's...
World news.
World news. That is right. First, this could not be a more sad news to me story if I tried. So let's go. Food poisoning survivors threatened suicide in Madrid art gallery. People who survived a mass food poisoning that took place in 1981 have occupied Madrid's Del Prado art gallery, threatening to attempt suicide if their demands for aid and attention are not met. A photo showed six people, one in a wheelchair, holding a banner in front of Las Meninas, the Maids of Honor, a painting by Spanish painter Diego Velázquez, inside the gallery on Tuesday. Others gathered outside. No more humiliation and abandonment, said a statement posted to the Twitter account of an association for victims of the adulterated rapeseed oil that harmed thousands of people across Spain in 1981. 6 hours after the start of our presence here, we will start ingesting pills, warned the We Are Still Alive Association, which is kind of an ironic name if they follow through with this. The group is demanding a meeting with Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez by the end of October and money to cover medical expenses for surviving victims. One of the world's biggest food poisoning scandals, the incident saw at least 5,000 people killed and 20,000 others affected, mostly with incurable conditions. There's no immediate comment from the Spanish government or Prado. The protesters said they chose the museum because culture had helped victims to cope. We are sick. Physically, we are 20 years older than our IDs say, said one woman outside. The substance that affected the protesters and others was originally for industrial use, but was adulterated and illegally sold as olive oil, mostly in street markets, starting in Madrid and then spreading to other areas. Symptoms ranged from lung failure and limb deformation to the destruction of the body's immune system. Many survivors were crippled for life. About 100,000 individuals were exposed, and clinical disease occurred in 20,000 people, 10,000 of whom were hospitalized, according to the Science Direct website. More than 300 victims died. So, they are trying to bring attention to this. We'll see if they succeed. Got us to talk about it. I found this story only mentioned on AlJazeera.com. Alright, so yeah, that's pretty wicked. So let's talk about something that's less serious business. Polish PM accuses EU of blackmail in escalating dispute over rule of law. Polish Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki, accused the EU of blackmail on Tuesday in a public clash with European Commission Chief Ursula von der Leyen over his country's rejection of parts of EU law. The row played out in the European Parliament underlined the seriousness of the issue, which both Brussels and Warsaw say threatens the cohesion of the 27-nation bloc. Von der Leyen, speaking just before Morawiecki took the podium, warned that her commission, tasked as a guardian of the EU treaties, will act to rein in Poland. We cannot and we will not allow our common values to be put at risk, she said, enumerating legal, financial, and political options being considered. Hey, welcome, X1. Welcome, welcome. Morawiecki, in a speech overrunning his allotted time, hit back, saying it's unacceptable to talk about financial penalties. I will not have EU politicians blackmail Poland. That's where our headline came from. A ruling by the Polish Constitutional Court on October 7th, questioning parts of EU law, ratcheted up tensions with Brussels that have been festering for years. The European Commission and European Parliament have taken Warsaw to task for moves to scrap judges' independence and other policies seen as rolling back democratic norms. So, one of the measures the Commission could use against Poland is withholding recovery cash from a pooled EU fund set up for the bloc to bounce back from the impact of the pandemic. Poland's plan, asking for 23 billion euros and 34 billion euros in cheap loans, is still being weighed, with the Commission saying approval would come with strings attached. Morawiecki, in a letter released on Monday, said that amounted to financial blackmail, punishment, starving of unsubordinated states. So, I don't know. It's like Poland is trying to turn into like a... Anyway, I've got a lot of opinions about this, but Poland's definitely going the wrong direction in things. And so it's interesting to see how the EU is going to try and rein them in. And can you, through policy, force a country to be more progressive? I don't know. This would be interesting, because if this works, maybe then we could make it work in Afghanistan. Because, I mean, religious law is religious law, whether it's Catholic religious law or not, you know. So maybe that'll work. Who knows? Well, don't worry. We're back on our death train. All aboard.
Excuse me while I whip this out.
One person is suspected of dying from Ebola in Beni. Volunteers working with the Congolese Health Ministry, dressed in protective clothes on Monday, disinfected the house of a man suspected of dying from Ebola in Kasabinyole, a neighborhood in Beni. The 36-year-old's body was removed and covered while distraught relatives looked on and begged to see him one more time. But the volunteers had to explain to them that it would not be possible. They took samples from the victim that would be analyzed to determine if he was infected with Ebola. Authorities said on Monday that 5 confirmed cases have been registered in Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo, where at least 3 people died this month since the new outbreak was declared. The new outbreak started on October 8th and comes after a devastating epidemic that began in 2018 when the disease killed more than 2,200 people in the conflict-ridden region. The World Health Organization started vaccinating people against the virus last week, so not quite enough time to get that started. Oh, man. Death train. Boop, boop. So that's going on. Don't worry. Lots more people in trouble. 10,000 children killed or wounded in Yemen's war. That's right. I can't make any more train jokes. This is just awful. At least 10,000 children have been killed or injured in Yemen in violence linked to years of war in the impoverished country, the UN Children's Agency said on Tuesday. The Yemen conflict has just hit another shameful milestone. 10,000 children have been killed or maimed since fighting started in March 2015. That's the equivalent of 4 children every day, UNICEF spokesman James Elder told a UN briefing in Geneva, where he urged an end to the fighting. The figure only included child victims whose fates were known to the organization, and there were countless others. He added that verified tally collected by the UN provided what is surely an undercount of the real toll, because many more child deaths and injuries go unrecorded. UNICEF urgently needs more than $235 million to continue its life-saving work in Yemen till mid-2022, Elder said. Otherwise, the agency would be forced to scale down or stop its vital assistance. Funding is critical. We can draw a clear line between donor support and lives saved, but even with increased support, the war must come to an end. the country on, yeah, I guess that's true. If it's from 2015, yeah, the score might be a little off. The country on the Arabian Peninsula faces combined troubles of protracted conflict, economic devastation, and crumbling social and health services, as well as underfunded UN assistance programs. So, it's just a plea for help. Children are starving and dying there. It's just something you don't see all the time. I like to be sure we remember. It could be a lot worse. All right. Colombia. Colombia found responsible for 2,000 kidnap and torture of journalists. Not 2,000 people. Which is what I originally thought. The Colombia state has been found responsible for the kidnap, torture, and rape of a prominent journalist who was abducted while reporting on her country's civil war, a landmark ruling from the Inter-American Court of Human Rights. Jeneth Bedoya, who has been pursuing justice for over 21 years and now campaigns against sexual violence, was recognized by the court on Monday as having suffered grave verbal, physical, and sexual aggressions for which the state was responsible. Before now, only 3 of her attackers had faced justice, receiving sentences in Colombian courts in 2019. Following the announcement, while her legal team also celebrated the news, Bedoya tweeted on Monday evening, October 18, 2021, goes down in history as the day when a fight, which began over an individual crime, led to the vindication of the rights of thousands of women who are victims of sexual violence and of women journalists who leave a part of themselves in their work. So I just thought that was some good news. It's some good news, of course, being news to me. When I saw responsible for 2,000 kidnap and torture, I thought we had a really big scandal on our hands. This is still good. So anyway, it was a bit of good news. This is a cutesy story. I don't know if it's good or bad, but Indian couple float to their wedding in a cooking pot along flooded streets. An Indian couple arrived for their wedding in unusual style after sailing through the flooded streets of their town in a cooking pot after heavy rains wreaked havoc on the southern state of Kerala. We talked about the flooding yesterday. Footage shared across social media showed the newlyweds squeezed inside the aluminum vessel while 2 men and a photographer paddled the pair down a submerged street. The couple reportedly borrowed the pot from a local temple, adding that it was the only option available at short notice. Local news agency PTI reported. Undeterred by the flooding and landslides caused by heavy rains, which killed at least 27 people, the pair were unwilling to postpone their big day. Footage later showed the bride and groom arriving safe and dry at a small, partially flooded temple in Thalavadi, where they exchanged floral garlands, a tradition in many Hindu wedding ceremonies. See you later, Jeff. The pair were determined to go, according to local media reports, husband and wife are both healthcare workers at a hospital in Chinganur. So, this is exciting. I just thought that was very sweet. And, you know, of course...
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Oh, man. This guy is jumping around, bouncing off of my head. So, don't worry. We got a song coming up. But first, I got a counterintuitive story that I think... I found it to be very interesting. And I hope you like it, too. Check it out. In the cotton fields of Damanhur, farmers are collecting a plentiful harvest. Prices of cotton have almost doubled in comparison to last year, rising from about 2,000 Egyptian pounds in 2020 to between 4,000 and 4,500 Egyptian pounds per 50 kilos this year. The cotton season was very good because of the heat wave. The crop is indescribable, to be honest. The cotton crop is good this year because of the heat, says farmer Ashraf Al-Shamsi. The cotton season this year is good, God willing. 90% of cotton is perfect. People were scared from last year's cotton prices as it was very weak. People who didn't plant are very upset and hope they plant it next year. But what appears to be good news for Egypt's cotton farmers could spell trouble for the North African country's food security. This is the twist that I was surprised by. Experts say changes in temperature and rainfall patterns linked to climate change, while making fertile ground for cotton cultivation, could make vital crops such as wheat more difficult to grow. Expected increases in temperatures and the change in their seasonal pattern could lead to a decrease in agricultural productivity of some crops, as well as to changes in agro-environmental ranges. Rises in temperature will cause winter grain production, for instance, to move further north to regions with the right temperature and conditions for the crops. Agriculture will be affected in terms of productivity of most of the crops because their low resilience to temperature changes, explains Mohammed Abdul Karim, a professor of environmental economics at Alexandria University. And the only crop that can sort of flourish with the increasing temperature is cotton. Other than that, productivity will go down. So, this will be very interesting to see. According to the United Nations Development Program, Egypt's large population of over 100 million makes the country extremely vulnerable to climate change. Studies have indicated agricultural and coastal zones to be areas most vulnerable. Dr. Amayan Abu Hadid proposes rethinking where crops are grown, protecting Egypt's food security in the process. It's hoped cotton won't be Egypt's only plentiful harvest in the years to come. So, there we go. Cotton, who knew it would be a winner and a loser at the same time. I just thought that was kind of neat. Alright, well, that is how that goes. Now, it's time for a song, because that's what we do here. So, let's go ahead and do... What's a song that's speaking to me today? Here we go. This is off of the Jimi Hendrix Experience. And this song is called Hey Joe.
Hey Joe, where you going with that gun in your hand? Hey Joe, I said, where you going with that gun in your hand? Oh.
but the guy that came by and sold my dad's stove, brought up, his name was Joe. So he used to think this song was about him. It wasn't really about this man, but it sure held our minds.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF, and SDF is powered by you, the listeners. So if you would like to participate in the show, just SSH over to SDF. And if you just want to keep up with Anon Radio, go to anonradio.net. If you're in comm, you can press the equal sign, and you'll get an upcoming schedule, including when the Dubious Goals Committee is coming up, which is always at 1930 UTC, by the way. And we got Praise the Darkness at 2000 and Mondo Trasho, along with Organized Insanity and The Resistance from DJ Bronzy Beat at 000 UTC, which is technically Wednesday. But yeah, definitely check it out. Hit up the calendar. We were kind of talking in calm about holding on to the good, letting go of the bad. And it brought me to this story from Philadelphia, which is pretty disturbing. As a trigger warning, if I know we've talked about some assault already earlier today, but if you're triggered by that kind of stuff, you might want to tune away for a little bit. This story is particularly gnarly. All right, and here we go. Bystanders who stood by and failed to help a woman raped on a Philadelphia commuter train last week could face criminal charges. CCTV cameras show that bystanders on the train did nothing as the assault took place, but local prosecutors have suggested no charges are expected from the bystanders who did not act, despite the comments from the police. A man was arrested for the incident and now faces rape charges. The alleged rape took place last Wednesday on a train belonging to the Southeastern Pennsylvania Transport Authority, or SEPTA. In a statement, SEPTA said that there were other people on the train who witnessed this horrific act, and it may have been stopped sooner if a rider called 911. A SEPTA employee who boarded the train called police, who found the victim and took the suspect into custody. The suspect, identified as 35-year-old Fishton Ngoy, who now faces rape and several other criminal charges. The victim was taken to the hospital and is cooperating with police. At a news conference on Monday, police said they do not believe any witnesses called 911 as the woman was harassed and eventually raped over the course of more than 40 minutes. It's unclear how many of the passengers were in the train car when the incident took place. Investigators are also looking into whether some bystanders filmed the assault. I can tell you that the people were holding their phone up in the direction of this woman being attacked, SEPTA Police Chief Thomas J. Nessel said on Monday. What we want is everyone to be angry and disgusted and to be resolute about making the system safer. Timothy Bernhardt, superintendent of the Upper Darby Police Department, was quoted by the New York Times as saying that bystanders who failed to help could face criminal charges. A final decision on the potential criminal charges, he said, will rest with the Delaware County District Attorney's Office once it completes an investigation. In response to questions from the BBC, a spokesperson from the District Attorney's Office said that while an investigation is ongoing, at the present time there is no expectation that charges will be brought against any passengers. Mr. McMunigal said he believes cases such as the one in Philadelphia are a rarity. In the vast majority of situations that come to public attention, the person has done something, or at least called 911. Tamara Rice is a law professor at the University of Miami and said that it is possible but unlikely that prosecutors could charge bystanders who filmed crimes if the act of filming was found to have had an impact on the crime or encouraged the criminal. So, you're not required to, but you really should. Really troubling stuff. All right, well, we've got about 3 minutes to go, or a little bit less than that, actually, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. So stick around. We're going to run through some headlines and get that all knocked out. All right, so first, FBI is raiding the Washington home of a Russian billionaire, Oleg Deripaska. The FBI on Tuesday raided a mansion linked to the billionaire as part of what media reports described as a court-authorized search. Nothing suspicious there. Please go about your business. abject neglect. Critics report chaotic and deadly conditions on Rikers Island. Not a big surprise, but New York's Rikers Island, one of the largest and most notorious jails in the world, is reaching a breaking point after more than a dozen incarcerated people died this year alone, and what elected officials and advocates are calling a humanitarian crisis. Also, a lot of people on Rikers Island aren't even convicted of anything. They're just there because they can't afford bail. Price for drug that reverses opioid deaths soars amid record deaths. If you're not depressed yet, here we go. As the United States faces an unprecedented surge in opioid overdoses, harm reduction groups are seeing shortages in naloxone, a usually affordable and easy-to-use medication that reverses overdoses and has been credited with saving many lives. It's not a lack of supply. There's actually plenty out there. Instead, the dangerous shortage is all about soaring prices. Yep, that sucks. Sucks to be you, I guess, if you need drugs or treatment. We are running out of time. We're pretty much out of time, yeah. There was a plane crash in Houston. One person with a backache and 20 unscathed in a lucky landing.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
All right. Well, stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thank you.